You're listening to the Texas Standard.
When it comes to election time, we hear this phrase a lot, make your vote count. But when it comes to confidence in how your vote's counted, we needn't take a survey to know it's slipping. Just this week, officials in Dallas County reporting Russian hackers apparently targeted their county website server in what appears to have been several attempted attacks on voter registration databases. They say the hackers were successfully stopped before any data was actually accessed and the holes were plugged. But the fact that it happened, and just ahead of the November presidential election, has voting administrators there asking, what exactly were those hackers trying to do? What were they looking for? Joining us now, Dr. Daniel Ragsdale. He is Texas A&M Cybersecurity Center Director. He's in College Station right now. Am I correct, Dr. Ragsdale?
That is correct.
Welcome to the Texas Standard. Dallas County discovered these attempted hacks after the Department of Homeland Security had alerted local election offices about suspicious IP addresses, right? These are numbers that could be linked to Russian hackers. Is this typical of how local officials find out about possible hackers lurking out there?
As you can imagine, with all the challenges that we've become aware of in the press and in other outlets, there's been an increasing array of sharing of information across federal, state, and local, and even into the private sector, because if we can communicate potential threats to those that are trying to protect and defend systems, they're going to be more likely to keep the data on those systems secure.
I want to understand something, though, about this. We don't know for sure if the hackers were actually trying to get a hold of the voter registration rolls. That was the suspicion, the concern. But from your experience, how easy is it for a hacker to get to that information once they've compromised something like a county's web server?
The level of difficulty, frankly, varies widely. And it really, in some respects, is a function of the degree of expertise that the IT staffs that maintain those systems mm-hmm. and the tools they bring to bear, and frankly, the resources available to much like almost any setting, the amount of effort, resources, and level of interest that's put to securing things is going to have some systems that are more secure, uh-huh. some that are less secure.
Well, of course, Dallas County, obviously, one of the wealthier counties, even though they've had some financing issues, obviously, of late, but still some liquidity there. There are a lot of smaller counties or some that are rather large and rural that say we just don't have the cash to implement some of the technology that's needed. We don't have the manpower, the personnel to combat cyber attacks. What's your take on that?
One, it's an expertise issue, so it's not just resources, cash, and tools. And that's part of what we're trying to do here at A&M and, frankly, across the United States, across the world for that matter. We're trying to attract students to pursue cybersecurity studies and to help them acquire the knowledge and skills so they can move into those settings and help protect and defend systems. Another approach is to focus on low-end, low-cost, sometimes open-source tools and capabilities that would allow these now empowered and knowledgeable workforce to protect those systems.
Of course, there's what this is also addressing is this issue of decentralization. I mean, on the one
yes.
hand, you can say that that's a weakness because we don't have anything that's standardized and there's no standard procedures or protocols. On the other hand, it could be a strength. No, I mean, if you have a decentralized database system, you're not going to lose everything necessarily.
As these systems continue to evolve, we are evolving a set of standards and practices and procedures that both at a national and international level that will move us from what is currently still somewhat of the wild, wild west. I think that's where we are in terms of our evolution of protecting and defending systems to one where it is standard practices in place, not necessarily centralizations wholly, but some that hitting that sweet spot of that balance between centralization and decentralization, where we have empowered individuals at the lower level with substantial capability and significant knowledge, but also both federal and state guidelines and standards.
Dr. Daniel Ragsdale is the director of Texas A&M Cybersecurity Center. Dr. Ragsdale, thanks again.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks again.